A few weeks ago, we did some training with our live stream and our camera crews here at Real Life. So before service, we got together and went over a bunch of stuff. We talked about camera angles and shots and when to use them. And then we talked more specifically with our live stream team about live stream kind of engineering, sound engineering basics. And one of our challenges here at Real Life is getting the right volume level on the right singer at the right time or doing the right song. And in the room here, it sounds good, right? Vocalists sound good. They're all blending and everything, but we're getting room. We're hearing the room when we're here. Our live stream audience, bless their hearts, are getting direct feed from the soundboard. And so there's not a lot of stuff, like everything you see. It's like listening to sound under magnifying glass. It just like kind of makes everything crisper and clearer. And that means that any problems or challenges kind of stand out. And so the problem that we have struggled with and the thing we're trying to address is that our singers switch. So we have one singer typically is singing the melody, the lead of the song, and the other two are singing either a high or a low harmony to the song. And that's great, fits together well, blends beautifully when they sing, it sounds really great. But what happens is sometimes the next song that comes along, the person who's singing lead on song one is now singing one of the harmony parts on song two. And if the mics don't get adjusted so that that lead vocalist is pulled down and whoever's singing lead on song two is pushed up, then what you hear in the live stream, we're really sorry, trying to fix it, is a sound that is just unbalanced. You're trying to listen, you're trying to sing along, but you're hearing a harmony louder than the melody. And it just kind of throws everything off. I was trying to think of like, what would be a good example of what this might sound like or look like in another setting. So just imagine you're watching a movie and in the middle, the cameraman puts the focus on a secondary character and follows them through the scene. You can kind of figure out what's going on. You can still kind of hear. You can kind of piece things together, but it's just not going to make sense. It's not going to work well. When the focus, meaning the volume in this case, is on the wrong voice, it throws the whole song off. And the heart of the song is still the same. The words of the song are still the same, and they may be beautiful, but we're not hearing what the composer intended. And that causes us to kind of be off a little bit. It's actually distracting when you're trying to watch and engage online. And we want to give our online audience the best experience possible, just like you. And so it's a struggle and something that we're working on. In the first week of this series, I shared that the Bible was written for us, meaning the Bible was written for humanity, for all of us, for all of humankind, but it wasn't written to us, like 20th century American followers of Jesus. And typically when we read the Bible, that's how we read it. That's how we perceive it. That's how we understand it. That's certainly how we apply it, as though the Bible not only was written for us, but was written to us. And that causes a problem, because as we read the Bible as though it was written to us, it's like the cameraman following that secondary character. It's like the voice being on harmony instead of melody being the loudest in our ears. And it just throws everything off. The Bible was written by Jewish authors who were immersed in Jewish culture and Jewish controversies and Jewish conversations. And the Bible was written primarily to Jewish people. And this is especially true of the writings we call the prophets, or the authors we call prophets. These men called prophets in the Bible that we read about, and there's a whole bunch of them at different times throughout the history of the Jewish people, but they weren't writing a play-by-play history of what was going on with the people. And they weren't acting like war reporters, kind of on the sidelines, giving us a description of what was going on. And they certainly weren't scrutinizing what's happening on the field, like political or spiritual pundits, listening carefully to what everybody is saying and then spinning it to fit their own actions or their own agendas. The prophets were involved in the culture that they were confronting. So when we read the prophets, we have to understand that this person was familiar with what was going on in the nation or with the people group that they were speaking to. They were familiar with what was happening. They were involved in that culture, and then they were speaking into that from God. They were inspired by God to speak into that situation. And so they had firsthand and sometimes supernatural insight into the players and the people that they were addressing, like God sending the prophet Nathan to King David after his sin with Bathsheba. God speaks to Nathan and says, hey, I want you to go talk to David because there's sin there and it needs to be dealt with. Nathan didn't know that on his own. That was a secret thing. But God told him what was happening so that he could go and address it with David. And I'm not sure exactly what all Nathan knew, but he knew enough to know David had sinned and he was going to go speak to that situation. But I want you to know that for the most part, prophets gave a word from God specific to people at a specific time and for a specific purpose. And while the prophets or the people sometimes they refused to listen to what the prophet said, it's us who often miss the point when we read the prophets, which is why we're talking about prophets today and how to read prophetic literature. Because we sometimes read it and we think it's like written to us. We don't understand what's going on in the storyline that we're reading, and we can wrongly apply it or misapply it to our lives. Have you seen the British comedian Peter Kay? Ever seen him pop up on your social media feed or anything? Peter Kay kind of got famous for doing this one specific thing. He listens to kind of famous songs, older songs, and then in front of his audience, he suggests a misheard lyric. So he mentions a song and then he says, hey, did you know that they said this? And they share some weird lyric. And then he plays the song for the audience. And of course, you're listening for what he said. Did they really say that? I don't think they said that. And you're listening for it. And of course, when he plays the song, that's what you hear. In fact, it's all that you can hear. And speaking from experience, when you go back and you listen to that song later, those lyrics pop up, those misheard lyrics pop up in your mind. Like they stick with you. And it's funny when it's about a song. It's a really funny bit that he does. It's not so funny when we hear misguided interpretation about a passage of scripture. And then every time we read it, we assume the wrong point. We hear it, as we read it, we hear it based on what somebody else said was what was going on in the text. And we miss it. Now, there's a lot of applications that we can make from just about every passage of scripture that we encounter. But in the moment, there was one prophet, there was one people, there was one purpose, and there was one point to what was being said. And when we fail to consider the original author, the original audience, the original application in that moment, we fail to handle God's word appropriately. And so what happens is then we misapply it to our lives and we can make all kinds of mistakes in the way that we live or the things that we say or the things that we do. Now, contrary to popular belief, certainly today, the biblical prophet's role was not to make proclamations about the future. And the reality is that when we hear the word prophet or we talk about reading prophets in the Bible, we think that the primary role of a prophet is to speak about something that's going to happen in the future that none of us know right now. And so we read the prophets like that. We're like, everything that they say is like this prophecy about something that's going to happen in the future. And then we're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And then we take that and we kind of run with it. And while some prophets occasionally did that, there are a few cases where that happened. The prophet acted more like a parent warning a child of the dangers that they might face if they continue this course of action. So I would say, is it considered prophecy when a parent warns a child about taking on too much debt or procrastinating and not doing the things that need to be done up front, or maybe playing in the street. The prophet in the Bible most often showed up and shared a possible future outcome should the king or the country continue their current course of action. And that's not prophetic. That's just perceptive. It's just perceptive. Yes, they were prompted by God. Of course, they were inspired by him to go and talk to the people, but they were speaking about a current situation. What was happening that day? When they showed up and they talked to people, when the prophet left, the people didn't go, "I wonder what he was talking about." Like, huh, that doesn't really make any sense. No, they immediately knew what the prophet was talking about. They immediately applied it to their situation. And consider this. Most of the 300 plus prophecies about the Messiah were not known to be prophecies about the Messiah until after Jesus. Did you realize that? Like, I think most of us don't realize that. I think I spent a lot of time not understanding that. I thought every single prophecy about the Messiah, the people understood in the moment. And they, like, the prophet came and he spoke and they went, "Oh, I think he's talking about the Messiah." But if that were the case, then the prophet would be coming in, speaking to a people about something that might happen in the future, and they wouldn't know what to do with it in the present. I think there was a point and a purpose to what every prophet said in the moment. And the people were able to take that and apply it to their lives and their situation immediately. What I'm saying is that many of the prophecies about the Messiah weren't recognized as prophecies at the time, and the people still understood the point the prophet was making. So let me pause here for a minute, because understanding the prophets and reading the prophets can be a struggle. And let me just say that there are lots of people in the world today and since Jesus who have come along and have represented themselves as like modern day prophets. They're people who have come onto a stage and they've said, "This is going to happen," or "That's going to happen," or "God told me," or "The Holy Spirit informed me," or whatever. Now, they might not claim to be a prophet because they know the passage that I'm going to share in just a second, but they represent themselves as one. They are pretending to be one, even if they would say they're not, so that they kind of get out from under any scrutiny that might be coming to them. Being a prophet is a dangerous and difficult job, because speaking the truth to power is never really easy. But God knew this was going to happen, and so he built a test into the fabric of the lives of his people, so that they would know when to listen to a prophet and when not to. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I just want to focus in on verse 22. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet himself has spoken presumptuously." And he finishes out like this: "You need not be afraid of him," which just means don't listen to him, or don't continue to listen to him. Now, there have been a lot of people who pretend to be prophets in the world today, and certainly over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I was reading about, I think I've shared with you before, that there was some misguided prophecy and application during Desert Storm. I think it was at 1991, something like that. And it actually came about in 1971. I think it was Hal Lindsey, if I looked that up correctly, who said that he thought when the Apache attack helicopter was presented to the military, they began using them. He said, "Oh, the Apache attack helicopter seems like, looks like, probably is the representation, a modern representation of the Revelation passages about locusts in the desert." And then, of course, in 1991, with Desert Storm and with all of that stuff, and all of the Apache helicopters took a big part in that. And so the Christian community kind of went crazy, going, "Oh my goodness, Jesus is coming back. Revelation is being fulfilled before our eyes, because these Apache attack helicopters are locusts flying through." Okay, that didn't happen, by the way. Jesus did not come back. He hasn't come back since 1991, I'm pretty sure. I haven't missed it. But those people who made those statements are still presenting themselves as prophets. And if we go back to Deuteronomy, we have to go, look, if you represent yourself as a prophet and you say, this is what's going on, and it doesn't come true, then we're not supposed to listen. We're not supposed to be afraid, which means we don't have to worry about the things that that particular person says. There are, again, lots of modern day wannabe prophets who have made claims as a prophet without saying they're a prophet. But I think the warning is as good for us today as it was for them back then in the Old Testament. We must approach the prophets with care and caution. So that's what we want to do today. We want to talk about how to ask the appropriate questions of the text that we're reading so that we get out of it what God intended and we don't come up with some kind of misguided or misapplication to our lives, that we stay true to the Word of God, that we're honest with what we're reading and how we're applying it to our lives. So we've been going through this book called Asking Better Questions of the Bible by Marty Solomon, and today we're going to look at these prophets. And so Marty suggests when reading the prophets, there are some questions that we ought to ask ourselves. And I would say not just the prophets. These questions apply to all of the Bible as we read it. But there are some questions that we can ask ourselves to correctly help us correctly handle the Word of God. And so we're going to look at those questions now. The first question he says we need to ask is who? Who is the author and who was the audience? Which prophet is speaking and who were they speaking to? See, each prophet that we read about in the Bible was a different person called to a different time and for a different purpose. The prophet Amos was a fig farmer. He was a complete outsider, and God called him and told him to speak to power. And so when he went to the northern kingdom of Israel to talk to them and give them a word from God, they had no idea who he was and what he was saying. Now imagine somebody that we don't know, maybe from a different denomination, a different church background, just walked in on Sunday and said, hey, I need to get up and talk to your people. That would be a struggle. I probably wouldn't let them do that. I want to know, who are you? What are you going to say? Because I'm responsible for you. And so I want to be careful about that. And so Amos was an outsider. He was coming in to speak and they didn't know who he was or what was going on. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was the son of a prophet. He was a son of a priest. He was a priest. He was in the priestly line. And so he was an insider. He was well known by the people, and that made it difficult for them to hear what he was saying. Prophets like Amos, Hosea, Jonah, and Nahum, they were prophets associated with the northern kingdom of Israel after the Civil War. And Micah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Joel, they were prophets to the southern kingdom of Judah. And then we have prophets like Ezekiel and Daniel, who were written to all Jews in exile in Babylon, people who were far, far from home. If we fail to pay attention to who the prophet and the people were, we may very well miss the point. If we don't understand who the author was and who the audience was, we might miss the point of what they're saying completely. We also need to consider the next question, which is what? What was the purpose of the prophet's message? So as an example, let's consider the prophet Isaiah. Many of us are familiar with Isaiah and some of the things that he said. Isaiah was a prophet primarily speaking to the southern kingdom of Judah. But if you read Isaiah, you see it's kind of an odd thing. He seems to address the people before their exile, during their exile, and then after their exile, which is a long period of time, like maybe it covers 100 years or more. And so it's sometimes hard to read what was going on. But most of us are familiar with Isaiah 53. We call it the suffering servant passage. It's one of the most well-known prophecies by us of the Messiah. But when you honestly deal with who the author was and who the audience was, the application, you realize that the characters in Isaiah did not understand this prophetic connection. When Isaiah penned, when he shared Isaiah 53, the people did not realize that he was talking about a coming Messiah. Isaiah and his audience all believed that he was talking about current events and current circumstances. And what Isaiah was saying in his text is this: look, if the nation stays strong in the midst of suffering, if you don't give up and you don't give in and you continue to be true to the one true God, then healing will come through your suffering. Isaiah refers over and over in his book and in his prophecies to God's servant, meaning the people of Israel, and the one, the nation that God had chosen, and saying that they as a nation would be a light to the Gentiles. It was only after Jesus came, after his death, burial, and resurrection, as people went back and looked at the words of Isaiah, that they applied them rightly to the Messiah. So while we look at those prophecies and we go, oh man, this is amazing prophecy about the coming Messiah, the people of Israel, when they first heard it, I think Isaiah himself had no idea that it was talking about, or that he was talking about, the Messiah. Here's how Marty puts it. Isaiah was doing very little foretelling at all. Isaiah was exhorting the people. He was instructing God's people in the way of righteousness. It had immediate application, and that was the author's original and, dare I say, inspired intent. See, Isaiah came to the people and he was sharing a message from God to the people in their moment of suffering to encourage perseverance and for them to find purpose in what was going on for their current situation. God, of course, knew that Isaiah was going to apply this text, or this text in Isaiah was going to apply one day to the Messiah. But neither Isaiah nor his audience knew it at the time. When they read Isaiah 53, they didn't go, oh, this is a prophecy about the Messiah. They didn't realize that. They thought Isaiah was talking to them in the moment, encouraging them to stay strong. And they continued to believe that for a few thousand years until after Jesus' death and resurrection. The people of Israel correctly applied this passage to give purpose to their current suffering and their current situation. And so what happens, I think, is that when we read Scripture, and especially the prophets in the Old Testament, and we read passages like Isaiah 53, and then we move forward a few hundred years, a few thousand years, and we see Jesus burst on the scene and begin fulfilling these prophecies, the people had no idea that that was a prophecy about the Messiah. And so as Jesus was fulfilling some of these prophecies, they were not connected to him. And so what I'm saying is maybe we need to be a little easier on the people of Israel, because chances are we probably would have missed it as well. The next question that Marty suggests is the question of where. Where is the geographical location of the audience? Now, I probably should have said this at the beginning of the message, but I forgot, so I'm going to share it now. We have message notes. So if you go to reallife.faith, you click on the menu and watch, listen, you can open up this, not just this live stream, but a whole bunch of notes that you can follow along with. And in the notes for today, I put a bunch of stuff about extra passages and things that you can look at that apply to what we're going on. And you'll have a written, you'll be able to see all of these questions and you can go back and refer to them. So this question that Marty says is where? Where is the geographical location of the audience? Is the prophet speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel? Or is he talking to Judah in the south? Is the prophet speaking before or after the nation has been conquered by Assyria, the northern tribes, or then later Babylon, both the north and the south? Are the people currently living in exile in Babylon or in some other country? Or is the prophet writing to the small band of Jewish people who left their places of exile and came back to Jerusalem to find the temple and their city destroyed and the land in desolation? Knowing where the people were located when the prophet wrote to them or spoke to them makes a big difference as we interpret and then apply what the prophet is saying to our lives today. So we need to know where they were talking, where the location was, where the prophet was, what was happening in the moment. The next question Marty asks is when? When did the prophet speak to the people? Think about being a parent. If you are a parent of a child and you have to address them or you want to address something it is that they're doing. Sometimes we as parents address our children or deal with a struggle or a situation or a problem in the moment, right? And sometimes we wait until after the child has gone through the thing they're going through, and then we come back and we sit down with them and we go, okay, let's look at what happened. Let's try to find the place that maybe you kind of went off the rails or what happened, and then what can we do to avoid it? Now, you're gonna address your child a different way in each of those situations and circumstances. If you have a child that's running into the street and a car is coming, you are going to address that child very differently. You are going to run. You're going to be loud. You're going to be like, stop, don't do that. This is going to be bad. If you can see as a parent that your child is going to do something that is just going to be terrible and blow up in their face, sometimes you have to be like, I don't know, maybe this is not the right word, but you got to be a little more aggressive in addressing that, right? Like, I don't want to see you go off this cliff, and so I'm going to yell, and I'm going to grab you, and I'm going to try and stop you and keep you from doing it. But if, on the other hand, as often happens, our kids are just going to go and they're going to live their lives, and then something happens, and we need to sit down with them and put our arm around them and go, hey, look, it's going to be okay. Let's try and look at what happened and figure out what we can learn from it so that it doesn't happen again. We're going to address our children in completely different ways in that moment. And the prophets writing to the people of Israel are doing the exact same thing. Sometimes they have to stand up and they have to yell and they have to get people's attention, like Elijah on the mountain with the prophets of Baal. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering. You remember that story? Elijah was getting in their face. He was being loud. He was trying to stop them in the midst of what they were doing. But other times we hear prophets coming and sitting down with the people and going, look, you made a mistake. You went the wrong way. And we need to look at that so that we can keep from making that mistake again. Knowing when the prophet is speaking helps us process how and why they are speaking the way that they are. The final question that Marty suggests brings the most application to you and I, and it's the question of why. Why did God inspire the prophet to have this conversation at this time with these people? Most of the prophets, whether they have a book that bears their name or not, were contemporary with other prophets of God. They kind of overlapped throughout Israel's history. And so we can read about in 2 Samuel, the prophet that spoke into the life of King Saul. We can read about Nathan, who came along and spoke into the life of King David. While these prophets all were used by God to speak to the people, they spoke in different voices, and they spoke for varying purposes. So if you got all of these prophets, these contemporary prophets, kind of in a room, and you ask them, like, what was the problem? What caused Israel to kind of go off the rails and do these weird things and get all mixed up? You might get different opinions from the same prophets. One prophet might say, well, look, here's the deal. They stopped obeying the rules. They stopped doing what God said to do. And because of that, there were consequences, there was punishment or whatever. And so it's about obeying the rules, and you gotta obey the rules. Like, by the way, Second Temple Judaism is all about the rules, because that's what they thought. They thought, man, if we would just follow the rules that God has, like, this is Jesus time, okay? If we just follow the rules, then we're gonna be in this covenant relationship. It's gonna be great, and God has to bless us if we follow the rules. But if you ask another prophet, the other prophet's gonna say, no, it's really not about just obeying the rules. It's about restoring that covenant relationship with God. We have this covenant relationship. God is gonna be our God, and we're gonna be his people, and we're gonna be in union with him. And if we would restore the covenant with God, if we would put a greater emphasis on our relationship with God and his role as our king and our God, then all of that other stuff would fall into place. And we'd obey the rules because we love our God and we want to do what he says. And so it's not about obeying the rules, it's about restoring the covenant. And then another prophet, if you ask them, might come in and go, well, you know, you're both kind of right, but all of that is in the past and it really doesn't matter. What matters now is, what are we going to do in the present? What are we going to do right now to bring restoration and of the covenant and repentance from breaking the rules? Like, what? How does this apply kind of right now? All of those are correct interpretations. They're all correct. And it's a little bit of all of those things, not one, not just all of one. But for years, I had a sign hanging up. In fact, I think it's still at home on the wall in our old home office. It read this: what God wants to say to me is more important than what God wants to say through me. What God wants to say to me is more important than what God wants to say through me. It was a reminder to me that I needed to let God inform my personal decisions and my daily life instead of just my preaching. And honestly, I think that's the same struggle for each and every one of us, each and every person who follows God, because we are all prophets. Now, that freaks you out at all. Just know that a prophet is simply someone who speaks before. And it could sometimes apply to somebody who speaks before something actually happens, but it more often applies to somebody who speaks before others and just says, hey, it looks like you're having a rough day. Can I help you? Oh, yeah. Look, when you follow God, life gets put back together. Families get put back together. And we strengthen those things. When we live according to God's ways and his word, then things get worked out. And it's not always perfect, but it goes better for us. And so we can all be prophets in our lives. Because look, people who live and love and try to look more like Jesus every day are going to find that they also begin to speak like him and speak for him to a world that is lost and struggling for a firm foundation in their life because nothing seems to be firm anymore. You and I are prophets to the world around us, just like the prophets of old. And so my question for you today is, what does God want to say to you today? The prophet had to hear from God first, and then he went and addressed other people. What is it that you need to hear from God today? Like the prophet's warnings or words of encouragement. What do you need to stop? What do you need to start? And what do you need to set with for a while? Think about those things. What, is there something in my life right now that I need to stop doing because I know that it's going to end poorly? This is not what God would have for my life. I'm not following the ways of God. I'm not looking more like Jesus in this. What do I need to stop? Maybe for you, it's like, what do I need to start? I feel like God's been encouraging me to be a part of a group or to serve in some way or to do something or talk to a coworker, somebody at the grocery store that I see all the time. And I just feel that prompting, but I've just kind of stopped it and I kind of walked away. What is it I need to start doing? What's God leading me to start? And maybe you're just in a time where there's lots of stuff going on and you're just unsure of what to do or when or where to do it. And you just need to sit for a moment and just process what's going on. Okay, God, how can I most honor you in the midst of this situation? Whatever your next step with Jesus, whether you need to stop, start, or sit with something, whatever it is, we want to help you take that next step. And so if you're here today and God's talking to your heart, look, like he did to the prophets, he speaks to us today. And maybe you've been sitting here going, it's not like God, like something's just bubbling up in you. We want to talk to you. We've had some folks who've been praying for you all week and this morning, and they want to pray with you now. And so between now and the end of the service, if you feel that need, if you want to talk to somebody, if you want to pray with somebody, whatever that is, you can just head toward the back doors and then down the hall to the second door on the left. We call it our family room. And there'll be people in there who'd be happy to meet with you and pray with you and talk with you and help you take your next step. If you're joining us on Facebook this morning, there is a link in the comment thread that will take you to some next steps that you might choose. And then, of course, we want to know about to help you do that and however we can, and know so that we can be praying for you. And you might even be watching this years from when it was delivered here on the end of August. And we're glad you're here, because God brought you to this moment and to this time for a reason and a purpose, just like he did with the prophets. And so on the page that you're watching, there are some links as well for you, help you take your next step. And we'd love to walk that journey with you. For the rest of us, there are many voices in the text. There are many voices in our Bibles as we read them. There are many perspectives that we could focus on or that we could listen to. And while each of those voices is inspired by God, when we fail to hear them in concert with one another, we miss the greater connection with God's story. None of the inspired authors of the Bible wrote or spoke independently of the others. While some might have been louder at times than others, it was not about competition, it was about following the composer's wishes. When we can hear the nuance in the harmony and the melody, and as each is given the appropriate volume at the right time, then the song, as God intended, will ring through. We won't just understand the story, we can begin to see ourselves as a part of it, as a part of God's composition, playing our parts as he leads us and directs us, and as we're sensitive to the Spirit, each singing our line at the perfect time. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the prophets, even though they are sometimes difficult for us to understand. We thank you for tools like these that Marty has given us, that we can read and apply. And not, God, it's not just about our knowledge. It's not just about making sure that we know the right things. We want to do the right thing. We want to practice our faith, not just acceptably to you, but in a way you intended in the world. And God, we can get so focused on trying to get the right message that we miss out on moments that you present us with. And so, Father, help us to balance these things. Help us to hear your voice clearly in your word, and then play the part that you've assigned us for the purpose that you've given us in the moment. Thank you, Father, for allowing all of us. You said in your word that we are a kingdom of priests. We're prophets, we're priests, we're kings, just like your son Jesus. So help us to know when to stand up, when to kind of shout and say, there's something going on, there's something wrong here, and when to put our arm around people and go, let's walk forward together. God, help us to be a church that that not just accurately handles your word, but then looks more like your son each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I recognize that was a lot of information. And I also recognize, it's kind of weird going through this and trying to figure out what to share and how to share it with you. So I know it's a little weird this morning. Thanks for hanging in there. But what we've learned today can really be applied as we read God's word in any situation, in any setting and circumstances. So what I did was make some little bookmarks for you. And on the back of the bookmark, it has the questions that we talked about today. So you can go to the website, reallife.faith. You can go to Watch Listen. You can find this message and you can find these questions. You can also grab one of these bookmarks on the table in the lobby on your way out. You slip it in your Bible, your device, your purse, whatever, and then pull it out when you're just not sure who's talking and who are they talking to and what are they talking about. And hopefully that will help you and be a benefit to you as you read and apply God's word to your life. Thanks for being here. So glad to have you this morning. If you need to talk with somebody and pray with somebody, you can head down to that family room. Otherwise, love you, and we'll see you next Sunday.